You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Triple J, Justin Labar, Jack Farmer, and Jimmy Corduroy Corderas here on the Wrestling Inc. after WWE Raw after show to chat all about the pro wrestling that we just got done watching. As we wait for everyone to settle in and find their seats, Justin, how you feeling today with your football team?
Well, they're not in the playoffs, but I'm still, you know, it was the last game we wanted. If we can't succeed, the next best thing is to do anything to stop Dallas from succeeding. And Dallas looked embarrassing. America's team, so outdated. So overall, felt good. A rookie quarterback played well. Hopefully it's the last game under the POS owner we've had for two decades. So I'm trying to be optimistic, positive, and I'm wearing my brand new for the late great Sean Taylor jersey.
The does it have the new team name on the Sean Taylor jersey?
It does. That's what's so cool about it.
Very cool. I started the season off saying I wish my team would lose because it's a wasted year, and now they find themselves in the playoffs. And I realize for many reasons why I'm not a NFL general manager. As Geno Smith goes and takes the Seahawks, gets the most passing yards in a season, I was like, just phone it in, guys. No good will come of this. And they show me why I should never have the control of a football team. But Jimmy, how are you doing? How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay because my Leafs are doing okay, you know. But as far as my NFL team, my Titans are out of the playoffs. You know, I'm still reliving the glory days of the franchise back when they were in Houston, you know, the Dan Pastorini, Billy White Shoes Johnson, Earl Campbell. Those are the glory days. I still have those flashbacks. So been a little tough the last few years. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned glory days because I want to take us back to some glory days, saying the Attitude Era. Someone named Stone Cold Steve Austin just shared a workout video, and it shows he's back in the gym, fueling even more questions from wrestling fans as rumors about a potential WrestleMania 39 return continue to hover around the Attitude Era legend. Austin, who turned 58 last month, shared a video on Instagram this morning that showed him working out in a hotel gym, lifting 40-pound weights in each arm as part of a bicep workout that he splits with slow treadmill breaks in between sets. Many fans commented in the post referencing that he looks ready to get back into ring shape with WrestleMania around the corner. Justin, I mean, we all want to see Stone Cold back, right?
he's my favorite of all time. I was stunned and geeked out to see him last year. I thought he not only met expectations, but he exceeded expectations. He worked a lot longer in physical of a match than I expected with Kevin Owens. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to not lean into the, like, if he's posting these videos, Austin is not dumb. He is a very smart worker. He knows what is going to come about of these videos. Whether he has a match or not, of course, that's always something that's going to be card subject to change. I think it's a guarantee he's absolutely a part of Mania in some form or fashion. It's two nights again. It's in LA. They want to continue to try to top each year and make it the biggest possible. So I'm sure he's involved in some way. Whether or not they line up a formal match, we'll have to see. I think it's crazy, though. I mean, this would be – we're going to go into this Mania season the first time in 20 years with the realistic – possible expectation that both The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin have a match on the card. That's incredible. And then, and I'll toss this to you guys, then it becomes, okay, if Rock has a match, we know who The Rock's opponent is. If Austin has a match, you know, it has to be a staunch heel. Last year, Kevin Owens played that perfectly, and now he's catapulted into being the top babyface. What heel do you line up a Stone Cold Steve Austin? I have maybe one idea on my mind, but Jimmy, I'll toss to you.
Well, I have an idea on my mind as well, depending on how long they could play out his storyline with Kevin Owens. But I think Sami Zayn would be a perfect opponent for Stone Cold Steve Austin during the rivalry with Kevin Owens. Sami keeps reminding Kevin, you couldn't even beat an old man at WrestleMania last year. What makes you think you can you know what I mean? And stuff like that. Well, if you think you're so tough, why don't you go try and beat Stone Cold? And there, you know, set up a match between Stone Cold and Sami.
I like that, Jack. Before I go into mine, do you have any that come to mind?
I was going to say Dom. No, but I like dream matchups, and the old Attitude Era fan in me, I know everyone else is going to bah humbug it, but I want to see Goldberg Stone Cold. I want it to happen. I get it. I never got it. I want to get it, even if it's terrible. I want to see it.
Well, you know, you said Dom, you know, part of me, and certainly we'll talk about the Judgment Days, part of me is like, man, that could really make somebody from the Judgment Day. Dom, I think, is already probably penciled into his father. But, you know, you look at Finn, you look at Priest. But I think those guys, I think they're so intense right now with their characters that they need to have a match that equals that. I think with Austin, you still need somebody who can be a worker, who could be a showman. Kevin was that. Sami Zayn absolutely could be that, as Jimmy said. I'll take one just to play off and play off what happened last year in the second night of Mania. What about Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Austin Theory?
I would love that as well. I'm still hoping we get John Cena to come back, and that's where I'm penciling in old John Cena. But look, again, I'm a big believer, and everyone always talks about how this is the chance for legends to build stars. I say forget the future stars. I want to see legendary matches now. So I guess even if John Cena's back, I think I'd rather see Stone Cold versus John Cena. Let's see that big powerhouse matchup. I want to see the biggest matchups in WrestleMania, you know?
That would be. I mean, Austin versus Cena would be that would truly be the flag bearers. That's one I've always wanted to see. I mean, but, you know, we've had Rock and Hogan. We've had Cena Rock. But, I mean, if you could have Austin and Cena, to me, Austin was clear-cut the number one guy for his time. Cena certainly has had the longest run of anybody, even going back to Hogan. So if you could pull that off in L.A., I mean, in addition to already having The Rock, I mean, you would just be grabbing so much, so many cameras and red carpet eyeballs.
Absolutely. And sorry to cut you off there, Jack. You know, obviously, you know, people talk about that moment at WrestleMania 18, just the stare down between The Rock and Hogan and that amazing reaction the audience was getting. That's all Austin and Cena would have to do is stand across the ring from each other and do that stare down and the posing. And that place will go banana.
Could you imagine just even if they had one face-to-face promo battle, like would just be incredible. And look, I'm okay with like legends helping to build stars at other shows. Like if this was Money in the Bank, sure, have him have a match with a younger guy. But WrestleMania, I want to see the absolute top, biggest, box office thing you can do is that's what I'm looking for. So honestly, Austin could come back and have a match with Scripps and I'd still be like, this is great. I love it. All due respect to Scripps.
And if Cena does, if Cena has a match, if Austin has a match, and if Rock has a match, I know this is, I mean, this truly would be one of the biggest Manias ever. Thank God it would be two nights. Would that be the first time ever on Mania that all three of those guys had an actual match? Because, you know, Rock versus Austin was Austin's last retirement match, and that was 03. I don't think Cena had, I think Cena's first Mania match was 04.
You know,
somebody in the chat can, right. Somebody in the chat can do some history. Yeah. But I think that we would be seeing history of the first time that all three would have an official advertised match. That would be pretty incredible. And then never mind if Brock's also on the card and Edge and whoever else.
How big are those names when you put it that way? Like, oh, yeah, and by the way, Brock may be on the card, whatever.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm.
Like, right. You're just like, Taker does a run-in, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Oh man, I love legends coming back. I'm one of the people who says, I don't care. Yeah, I know a lot of people are like, what are they doing to build new stars? Forget new star. I want my legends. Give me my legends.
You can have like, both.
You can. And look, and keep an eye out. Anything like this that could have a seed planted, you might not have to wait until the Rumble. Because before the Rumble, what's coming up, boys and girls? The 30th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. It was 30 years ago, January 1993, and they're going to celebrate in a couple weeks. That of course, as a reason to bring back nostalgia and names, that might be where the first seed gets tossed into the soil.
Jeez, this could line up to be the absolute biggest wrestle. We say it every year, but I mean, the 30th anniversary, the fact that we could get all these stars coming together for this show. I mean, yeah, this could actually be the biggest of all time.
And some major surprises could happen in the Royal Rumble leading up to that, too, to help set this up, too. Yeah, so this is going to be very interesting. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so excited. This is such a fun time to be a pro wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. After some years where it was a little rough to be a pro wrestling fan, mm-hmm. to be honest, this is a fun time to be a pro wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun time to do shows like this with amazing listeners and viewers, people who are in the live chat with us as we speak, like Justine, Ethan Cruz, Francesco, Dylan, Jeroy J. We've got Ricky Zaldivar, Tommy O, Christy. We've got Steven Camp and Baby Ice Night One. And I think M. Rouse and Tox Kazim. And I think I got Adam McFarlane. I think I got everybody. If I didn't, I'll catch you on the way out. But thank you guys so much for joining us live here in the chat. And anyone who's listening to us later on, leave a comment, like, share, subscribe, hit the little bell so you get notified of new episodes, all that good stuff. And sometime come join us live if you can. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, let's talk about this wrestling show.
Okay. All right.
We start with Kevin Owens coming out, and he gets interrupted by JBL. And JBL says that, look, you're not going to beat Roman Reigns. The last guy who beat Roman Reigns should be the one talking about this, and that's Baron Corbin. So they have a match, and it's pretty straightforward. KO gets the win with the stunner. Story of the match really is, though, post-match, the Usos attack Kevin Owens, but Owens fights them off with the chair. Later in the night, or later right after that, we find out that Ziggler's facing Sokoa, and the Usos are getting out of the arena. Jimmy, this match, or this whole setup here, I don't think, you know, knocked anyone's socks off, but it kind of moved things along in a good way, right?
Yeah, it was fair. It was good. It wasn't, like you said, overwhelming or anything like that, but at the same time, it progressed the storyline along. You know, there's minor little things that I think they could have tightened up. Yes, the 3-on-1 attack on Kevin Owens after the match made sense, you know, like Kevin trying to fight back and getting overpowered. And yes, he fought back with a chair, but at the same time, he's beating off three guys. You know, still, maybe when he grabbed the chair, have the Usos back up a little bit, like, hey, you know, okay, we got our damage in and stuff like that. And especially with someone like Solo Sikoa, you don't want him selling that much, in my opinion, anyways.
Justin, do you think they went too far? Should they have looked a little tougher, the Bloodline?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made for that. You know, but I mean, they're also clearly Kevin Owens is I mean, he's one of the top baby faces they have. So they at the same point, they, if there's going to be a guy who's going to have a little bit of an unbelievable, you know, take on all the numbers, all you know, it's going to be him right now. The thing I liked the most about this whole opening was what you mentioned there, Jack, was let's actually, again, WWE's done a good job of this in the second half of this year under new leadership of like acknowledging history and acknowledging what they did in the past and pulling out that fun fact, that nugget, that Baron Corbin is the only person to get a pin on Reigns in this 3 years or whatever it's been. So that's just a great call on history of here's a reason to get Baron Corbin and JBL out there. Baron Corbin versus Kevin Owens, that's something fresh. We haven't seen it on TV in I don't know how long, or at least not in the presentation of Owens as the face. So I liked that. And I liked it all. You know, the Usos be involved, and there's certainly a thread tonight involving the Bloodline, involving the tag team titles, as we'll get to for the main event. So on those bigger picture things, I liked what they were doing.
You know, I've compared the Bloodline to the NWO a couple times recently, but I have to admit, NWO would have put Pierce through a table if he got in their face back in the day. So, like Eric Bischoff when they powerbombed him off the side. I think they would have done that, Bloodline. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Hey, you never know down the road. You never know what's going to happen because Adam Pearce has been flexing a little bit of that authority muscle lately. So you never know. But maybe it's Roman Reigns is the one who kind of, anyway.
He has been getting a little big for his britches over the past few months when talking to the Bloodline. And you're right, Jimmy. I feel like there's going to be I was going to say retribution for that, but that calls back bad memories. Let's not call it that.
Who knows? Maybe Adam Pearce draws one of the 30 numbers for the Rumble.
Ooh, you never know.
Hey, I'm all in on Scrap Daddy main event in WrestleMania.
There you go.
I will say JBL tonight had a lot of great one-liners. And I think that JBL had one of my favorites tonight was what he said, get on your overweight hooves to the crowd. That popped me a little bit. So I was excited about that. We continue on, though, and this was an interesting segment, and I really want to know your guys' thoughts on this one as Alexa Bliss comes out of nowhere, stands on the announce table, and she says that it's not Wyatt, it's not Howdy, that she is the face of evil, and she feels good about it. She also drops the line. She's got the whole world in her hands before Uncle Howdy shows up with some videos of her old times with Wyatt and then asks, do you feel in charge? Before laughing on the on the entry ramp. Justin, we're getting more of that intermingling of the Wyatt stuff and Alexa Bliss, but Bianca Belair was nowhere to be seen here. Character development for Alexa Bliss, but the title, again, kind of seems secondary here.
Well, it did tonight, but I think that's okay. Like, I mean, look, I don't think Bianca Belair, her stock or the title has dropped down. She has had a phenomenal last couple of years. So I think, if anything, you know, this is just her being off this week just kind of sells that, you know, craziness that Alexa showed the week prior. And so that's, I mean, I think it's okay. I don't know where Bianca needed to be seen tonight. I think it was okay to focus and really kind of further this Alexa stuff. I like the unique approach of her just coming in on the announce desk versus having a traditional, you know, music and get to the ring. I like the kind of just random takeover feel it had for a moment of her doing that and cutting that promo on the desk. And then the appearance of Uncle Howdy, and look, they seem to have an idea of what they're building to. It really does. I mean, obviously Bray's involved in this lights out match at Red Rumble. So it kind of feels like everything has got some kind of end date. They're going to make some reveal or things are going to come together and we're going to figure out what Alexa's involvement is, what Uncle Howdy, what Bray, all the stuff at Rumble and then beyond. So again, I was intrigued. And even the simplest thing of having Uncle Howdy just appear live in person, granted, we've seen him do that on SmackDown, but we have not seen him do it on Raw. So even something as small as that help feel like this advance that they gave me something more. I haven't seen this when I've watched on Mondays. So again, I was intrigued by this. I'm on the hook to see what this all means with Uncle Howdy, Bray, Alexa, and then who knows how many more characters.
Yeah, Jimmy, this was what I really liked about this is we know Alexa Bliss is talented and she's great at what she does. It does feel like the past few months she's sort of been, for lack of a better term, kind of vanilla. Like she's there, but I don't really know what exactly she's bringing. This does feel like she's getting that different, like she stands out, I think. This is a different kind of character that stands out from the rest of the division here. Do you like where she's going with this?
I do, because you can tell she is feeling this character that she's portraying right now. It's not like, oh, I'm playing, a possessed character or anything like that. It almost feels like, you know what? I don't want to run into this girl in a dark alley, because you never know what's going to happen. She's making you, like Justin said, she's getting you invested. She's getting you to feel what's going on. And now you're, if you tie it into the Bray Wyatt story with Uncle Howdy and her, okay, Uncle Howdy did what he did to Bray Wyatt the other week. Now what's going on? Is he just trying to bring these both of them back together, or is he trying to, take in Alexa Bliss onto her side and kind of leave a softened Bray Wyatt by the wayside until he brings out, the old Bray Wyatt that we're accustomed to?
Yeah, I will say. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
No, please go ahead, Jacko.
No, I will say I'm definitely in the boat of I'm ready for Bray Wyatt to start wrestling and to start actually having matches. But that said, it does feel like there's this big overarching story that's coming together that I feel like maybe I just have a lot of faith in the current people putting these things together that is going to get tied together very nicely and it's going to pay off. I believe in it, but the impatient side of me is ready to see some of this turn into actual matches instead of just the mysterious walking out with smoke and then cut to black.
Well, I agree. We have to get some kind of payoff sooner than later. And I think that was kind of maybe one of the mistakes that they're learning from in the past times of Bray Wyatt and some of the creative stuff was that there's a lot of, riddle and rhyme, smoke and mirrors. And we never quite got always to the payoff. So, but again, this feels like they have an idea of when they're going to start to unveil some certain things. I just want to real quick talk about Uncle Howdy. It's pretty cool if it's true what's being reported and what's out there. There's the speculation that maybe Uncle Howdy is Bo Dallas, who is the real life brother of Bray Wyatt, but we don't know. And what's pretty cool is that the reports coming over is that they are protecting the Uncle Howdy character so much they're even kind of working the locker room to the point of the person who portrays Uncle Howdy gets dressed privately, is not seen walking around in Uncle Howdy gear from neck down and mask off or whatever. Like Uncle Howdy is Uncle Howdy, just kind of appears and Gorilla appears on screen when they need to and then kind of vanishes back. Like, and I have no reason to believe that's not true, because I don't think that would come across the way it has on the internet if it wasn't. So that's kind of cool that they're trying their best to protect it. It's giving it kind of like this extra bit of supernatural life, knowing that they're trying to do that behind the scenes even.
Right.
Well, and as a fan that is on Twitter, I love that if that is the case, I love that that's what's happening, because someone would spill the beans on who it is if they knew who it is. That's just the way it is. And why I want to know, I don't want to know. It's like a Christmas present, I want to know what's in the present, but I want it to be revealed in the right way.
Right.
Jimmy, it's like certain movies when they shoot multiple endings and they don't even tell the cast which script they're going with.
Right.
And make them wait until the premiere. I think about the famous, nobody knew for sure who Kaiser Soze was going to be until they went to see the premiere. And that includes the principal cast of the movie. That's pretty awesome.
No, it is pretty awesome. And it's not that people would, purposely go out there to spoil anything. Sometimes stuff just happens and, you do it unconsciously or subconsciously. You spill it to someone and then that other person gets it out there. So you are kind of responsible for it. So keeping it under tabs, especially in today's world, is as difficult as it gets, but you got to give them a little credit for keeping this secret for as long as they have so far, at least anyway.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see where it goes and how it turns out. We continue on, though, with a – we get a match between Bayley and Meechan, and it says Meechan on the screen, so that's what I'm calling her. Bayley talks some smack about Becky Lynch not having any friends, and if I'm honest, I can't really imagine Meechan and Becky hanging out, so maybe Bayley has a point. But Bayley gives Kai and Sky the night off before facing Meechan, and fairly quickly – gets the win at using the ropes from Bayley. Later on in the night, they there's a little promo where Damage Control beats up Meechan and says, "Don't stand up for someone who isn't there to stand up for you as well." To kind of tie a bow on that whole segment, Jimmy, this is a Meechan's. I know Mia Yim. I know she's been on NXT and all that, but if I'm just looking at it from the main roster here, she's been kind of lost to me. Is she in a tough spot? It feels like she's getting kind of fed to Damage Control.
Yeah, it is a tough spot because obviously Damage Control is a priority for them right now, especially when you look at the other side of the aisle on the babyface side. Who do you pair her up with? Obviously, there's still some unfinished business with people like Becky Lynch and that sort of thing. But at this, you know, maybe there's something there with someone else. And the it almost does feel like, okay, we got to put somebody in there with her. Okay, we'll put her in there. Let's see who's on the list kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough – I mean, you're on TV, so it's a good – like, that's better than, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would like to be in that spot, but just as learn who she is. If I'm learning who she is for the first time, it's a little bit tough.
And no offense to Meechan, Mia Yim, but they did it the right way, though. Because Bayley did need a good, credible win to come across again. Not credible when you say she used the ropes, but you know what I mean.
Right.
A heel. And one like a good heel does. And she does get the reaction you're supposed to get when you're a heel. So in that regard, it's working.
Right. Justin, no Becky Lynch today. Bayley doing the heavy lifting in this rivalry. How are you feeling about this one?
Bayley needed the win, as Jimmy mentioned. I was kind of bored overall. All four women, Damage Control, Mia Yim, I have things about all of them that I like. But I got to be honest, nothing really moved me in this segment of match. I was just kind of like, all right, it's there. It's there.
Yeah. That was, and honestly, that's, I was going to say at the end, this was kind of an episode of Raw where it felt a bit like a filler episode. Like they did stuff that needed to be done, but I don't think there was any matches or moments where I was like edge of my seat, like what's going to happen? How is this going to play out?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about some stuff, at least, you know, I mentioned some stuff I've already liked in this episode. We'll get to some more down on the home stretch, but yeah, this is, and you run into this when you have Rumble a number of weeks away now, when it's within immediate sight, when you have a 30th anniversary of Raw, when you have those big shows in sight, sometimes those shows that are 1 and 2 weeks out from that, which would be a night like tonight, you can't progress it too much because you got to save the big stuff. So it is a little bit like we got to keep it in people's minds, but we're not going to do too much. We just got to keep them just remembering. And again, it's a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
So
against some stiff TV competition tonight, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, and that'll be fun to watch when the breakdown comes out. Obviously, the college football national championship was up against it. It ended up being a complete blowout. So I'll be curious to see, you know, Raw normally obviously struggles as the night goes on. Do they? I don't think they're going to gain viewership necessarily, but do they sustain anywhere, or is the drop not as wide? But yeah, that Jack, that whole thing. I used to do a big rant on this every March for a long time on the road to Mania. Yeah. When you are not the go-home show, so not the last Raw before Mania, but the Raw before that.
Mm-hmm.
That Raw is always, I could go back and I could write you a book. That Raw historically is always either super hot or super blah, because that Raw, they're either behind on a story or two, and they're like, oh my God, we got to get it to this point for the go-home show, so you get a whole lot of crazy. You get Undertaker sets Bray Wyatt's chair on fire and blah, 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 all this stuff happens. Or, oh, we have nothing else to do. We can't blow our load off of what we're going to do at the go-home show. And so nothing happens. We're kind of in that same space right now leading up to this Rumble and anniversary show of Raw, where it's like you can't give away too much.
Yeah. And I felt like, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like about this spot in the show is when I realized this is going to be one of those episodes. Yeah. One of the better parts of the show, in my opinion, happened next, though. Not the best part. The best part's coming up at near close to the end. But one of the better parts of the show, I thought, Austin Theory comes out and says the now is forever, talks some crap about Rollins, and then talks some crap to the crowd. Rollins comes out and says he's going to be ready by the Royal Rumble. They both say they're going to win the Rumble. Then Lashley comes out, spears Theory, and says it doesn't matter who's in the Rumble because he's back and his suspension is up. Mm. Don't think it was a suspension, but it's wrestling. I'll let it slide personally. Jimmy, was this? Are we not having a U.S. title match at Rumble, or are these guys just going right to the Rumble? What say you about this?
Oh, well, it doesn't sound like it, but then again, some seeds were planted here. You know what I mean? For them having a match at the Rumble, but also mm-hmm. probably being entered into the Rumble as well, because, you know, the Royal Rumble is that pay-per-view where guys can perform double duty and still, you know, and it's have it make sense. But the interesting thing that you didn't mention, though, was what was the opening line that Austin Theory had when he came out and grabbed the mic? The champ, the champ is here. Mm-hmm. And somebody else had that as a tagline. So again, interesting the choice of words. So I'm curious to see where that leads.
I mean, that I would love to see those two guys go at it. But like I said earlier, if we could get Austin Cena, I'll take that any day of the week. Justin, do you give him a pass for the whole suspension thing versus being fired thing? Do you think that was just a little bit of like backwards, like whoopsie daisy? We got to just brush this under the rug or what?
No, actually, if memory serves me correct, we did this podcast after that Raw and we were told Lashley was fired. But then I feel like it was that maybe Friday of SmackDown or somewhere after that, they did like they walked it back and we saw Adam Pearce. I don't know if he was at his home or in an office or maybe it was just on social. They walked it back where Pearce said he's not actually fired. And I think he did say it's a suspension, you know, like he, you know, Pearce consulted with the boardroom, whatever. It's some, whatever, you know, corporate jargon right. they threw out there. So I think it's just a case of whatever that walk back was just wasn't publicized enough. So some of us do just remember what we saw on Raw, which is, oh, he's supposedly fired and, that's not the case.
Yeah. It looks like in the chat they're saying, yeah, there was a social video where they walked it back. So, okay, yeah. You're right. I'll let it slide. Mm-hmm. I'll let it slide this time. Okay. Next time, yes, I'll go, eh. That's about as far as I'll go. But yeah, I love these three. I feel like they've been in a circling rivalry for like 6 months now, but I like mm-hmm. them all, so I let it go mm-hmm. there too. Mm-hmm. But we continue on, and this was another one of those matches where I get it, but I don't think anyone was on the edge of their seat. Candice LeRae versus Rhea Ripley. First off, Candice LeRae tells us that Johnny is injured, and now she's looking forward to the Royal Rumble, but Ripley says she's delusional, so we get a match, and Ripley kind of dominates this one for the most part, getting the win, as I think she probably should here, but Justin... Similar to Meechan, is Candice LeRae kind of up against it after this?
Yeah, she's kind of in this, you know, spot of like she's back, it's good, but you know, where does she fit in? You know, my wife said that she loved Candice's hair color, and my daughter said that if she was going to be a wrestler, she wanted to have Candice's wardrobe. She liked the poison pixie wings and all that stuff. You know, so Candice is over with the LaBar women here in the house.
Yeah,
this was about as an aggressive of a squash match that WWE does when the person being squashed is a regular TV name. You know, this was not a local unknown independent talent jobber situation. Yeah. This was two TV regular talents, but it was very much a squash match. But appropriately so, because Rhea, I sing her praises every week. She's in the driver's seat probably for a Rumble win. At least she's got to be one of the top, you know, top contenders. And Candice, I mean, she's back, and that's nice that she's back. It's nice that her and her husband can be back together and maybe let the family travel together and all this stuff. But you know, she really doesn't really have much momentum or investment, it feels like, from the crowd at this moment.
Yeah,
that just is what it is. So this was a squash match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of felt like the crowd knew what was happening too. You didn't really hear the reaction I think would you usually see in a Rhea Ripley match. And I'm like, you just, like, again, we watch a lot of wrestling. Like, I know Candice LeRae is great. This isn't me saying, who is she? What's she doing? I'm just, as the host, trying to, if I hadn't seen anything, this was all I knew, where is she at? And it's she's in a tough spot too, because at the same time, though, I think the women's division, especially on Raw, is so hot right now. Who does she get wins over that mean anything? Because everyone is, like, I can't see her beating Bayley. I can't see her beating Ripley. I can't see her beating Bianca. I can't see her beating Becky. Like, not right now, anyways. And so, like, who does she get wins over that's going to get her heated up? So,
Absolutely. And like you said, part of the crowd, you felt, knew it, as you guys said, because they were quiet through most of this match. I mean, there were a couple of oohs and ahs over some of the big moves that Rhea was doing, but at the same time, I don't think anybody in the crowd believed that there was a chance that Candice was winning that match. And you know, it's good to put a little bit of doubt in their mind if you can do it, even though you're pretty sure what the outcome is going to be. At the same time, this was like the crowd was like, nah, she ain't winning.
Yeah. We get a backstage segment and it's MVP talking to Bobby Lashley. This was another thing I liked a lot. And MVP is trying to mend some fences, trying to make people happy. And Lashley says, we're good, but I'm not there yet. But Jimmy, to me, that just sounds like it's only a matter of time before Hurt is back in business.
It sounds like it. Again, those seeds are being planted. And this is what they've been doing really well lately. They've got people thinking, will they get back together? Won't they? You know, obviously MVP definitely solidified as a heel. Bobby Lashley, we're kind of on the fence with, because we're not sure how to take him just yet. So you could see him waffling to one side or the other. And that's the beauty about Bobby's character right now. He's technically a babyface, but at the same time, you can see him just flicking that light switch and joining forces with his old chums and forming. I know it's going to be another group, so to speak, another faction, but at the same time, this was a good faction. You got guys like Shelton and Cedric in it, led by MVP. Oh, my goodness.
Justin, I'm going to ask you the question that's going to get everyone mad at you, I'm sure, or mad at me for asking the question, but there's a lot of stables in WWE. There's a lot of stables in AEW. When AEW presents a new stable, it feels like there's a little bit of an eye roll, like here comes another stable with a bunch of people in it. But right now I see a bunch of stables in WWE and I feel like I look on Twitter and everyone is salivating at the idea of Hurt Business getting back together. What is AEW and WWE doing differently to make the appearance of stables seem so cool in one and such a kind of rehash in the other?
Well, part of it's just simple math. AEW has double the roster size and they have half the TV time. Mm-hmm. So, WWE still has guys and girls that are signed that are still some weeks sitting at catering and not being used. Okay. But they have been doing, again, since the Triple H takeover of creative, they have been doing a better job trying to cycle through and get people featured or seen in some ways. And of course, you know, Mondays, especially, they have 3 hours. So it doesn't feel like they're cramming. Like the criticism with AEW is that I think they throw so many stables and then the stables have, you know, the featured guy or girl, but then they have some extra hanger-ons and there's just a lot of random extras and there's not enough time to explain who they are, you know, and it feels rushed. The WWE has the luck, you know, most of the time, 3 hours Raw is an obstacle, but there is the luxury of at least, you know, the little teasers they've done in the past where we've seen somebody walking backstage and we saw MVP with Cedric and Shelton talking to Adam Pearce, and you know they plant little seeds. I think that's a difference. And quite honestly, I think what they did tonight is, I don't even think they know for sure if the Hurt Business is getting back together, or at least the Hurt Business with Bobby Lashley. I think they might know, okay, Hurt Business is coming back together with MVP, Shelton, Cedric. But do we put Bobby there? Maybe that's something that where we get to February and they go, okay, we're in the middle of the road to Mania. Is anybody hurt? Is the crowd wavered one way or the other to a face or a heel? Do we need to, you know, and kind of seeing where do we need Bobby? Do we need Bobby as a credible face? Do we need Bobby as a credible heel? Where, and so I think that's kind of what we're doing, is that they're leaving it open-ended to where they can plug him in appropriately depending on who gets back healthy, who is stays healthy, how do they react to Cody, do we have Rock, is Sammy staying in the blood? You know, there's all these different, you know, these trickle-down things. I think that that's what they've done right now, and this is, it's kind of a smart move, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's great that you say that, because I didn't think about that, but now you say that maybe they could slide them in somewhere else, and I look at like the club and AJ Styles being hurt, and I could imagine them saying, look, if AJ's out, then the club can't do the whatever they were planning with them, but we could slide in the Hurt Business, and you've got the same makeup of a stable to go in there as well. And
right,
that's a really good point there, actually.
A very good point.
Why I asked you, Justin.
I try every now and again. You know, I'm here every now and again for something.
Yeah, and if I can, just one little thing too. Like you said, Justin, there is so many talents with not enough time to feature them all. And again, it goes back to my old saying, my old cliche, trying to cram 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag. It almost feels like there's this need for them to showcase everybody in every faction, you know, like after a match, there has to be an aftermath or something, you know, to get them on and seen. You know, you can go a week or two without featuring them. And then when you do put them on TV, have it mean something, as opposed to, oh, here's another run in and another beatdown.
Right. I think, and as we're talking about this, well, I think what WWE does well is all their stables feel like different groups. Like Judgment Day has a certain vibe. Hurt Business would have a certain vibe. The club has a vibe. The Bloodline has a vibe, where I think, and this isn't the anti-AEW, I like AEW just fine, but you have like the Trustbusters and the Factory. And I don't really know if I could tell a whole lot of difference between what they're about, you know, like if you showed me someone from the Trustbusters and I didn't know anything about W, I couldn't pick which group they were in, you know. But if you show me Damian Priest, he is clearly part of Judgment Day.
It goes back and not to derail here.
Yeah.
Diehard AEWs hate when I say this, and I say this. I don't have to talk about AEW, but that's sect of fan hates when I talk about the airport test, but it's relevant. And an airport test doesn't mean you have to be 6'7". Airport test just means you have to be. Darby Allin passes the airport test, and he's 5'5" and whatever. But it's a matter of, can you stand out? But Jack, you just named a couple of those groups there. Yeah, when you look at it in a lineup, they're just a bunch of dudes. Doesn't mean they don't know how to do athletic things in the ring. But that has nothing to do with it. This is a come out the curtain, make me believe when you come out the curtain. I love to go to indie wrestling shows, and I don't go to nearly as many anymore as I used to, but I love to go to a show where I don't know the locker room, I haven't intermingled with anybody, and just sit off in the crowd. When the music hits, sell me in the first 30 seconds. I don't give a damn what happens after the bell rings. Sell me from the curtain to the ring. Is there something about your presentation, your music, what you do? Do you say something? Are you on the, you know, RJ City used to sing Frank Sinatra to the ring, you know, like that's where you're going to hook me. That's what's going to make me go talk to you or follow you on Twitter or buy something or whatever. Like, and I feel like there's too many in that situation of all these stables, but they're just a bunch of dudes. I can't tell anybody apart in a lineup.
Right.
Yeah. We got a super chat here from Juan asking, did they scrap Finn versus Edge and Lesnar versus Lashley at the Rumble? I did not know those were happening personally. Do you, either of you, have any insight on?
Well, obviously the angle when they took Edge out, you assume that somewhere down the road there will be a Finn versus Edge match, and a lot of people looking forward to the Lesnar versus Lashley match. If you think about it, though, if done correctly, the Lashley versus Lesnar match could be definitely a WrestleMania match.
Oh yeah,
and you know what I mean. And the same with Finn versus Edge. You know, Edge making it, his return, whenever that is. You know, and you can, you know.
And the Lesnar versus Lesnar versus Lashley, as Jimmy's saying, that goes back to what I was just saying. Of that's something that you can then determine. Okay, do we need Lashley to be in the heel stable? Because then, if you want Brock to be the definitive babyface, well, now all of a sudden you have the potential of, okay, we're going to do Lesnar Lashley at Mania, but what do we have before Mania? Mm-hmm. We have an Elimination Chamber, or after Mania we have another Saudi trip. Wouldn't it be a nice way to get Lesnar on the card, but have Lesnar work with somebody who he's never really got to work with at this stage of his career, who there's real life history with? And I'm talking about Shelton Benjamin. So you have these little things that you could plug in to fill, oh, we need Brock on this card to help sell some tickets, sell some buys. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be something that's a victory for him, but something that we can sink our teeth and have a story that we put together a video vignette and use real life footage. God, Shelton versus Brock, you know, so it goes back to that. Leave your options open.
Yeah. And shout out to Brian H. Waters in the chat. Good to see you rolling through, buddy. But this is where I would be a terrible booker, is when it comes to Rumble, because I want everyone in the Rumble. And so like all the good matchups, I'd be like, no, don't put him in a match. I want him in the Rumble. Don't put him in. It'd be like all people who are never on TV having matches, and then every star in the Rumble. It'd be the-
Jack, your wrestling booking is telling as to why you would not be the Seattle Seahawks GM. You don't want to build for the future.
No building for the future.
Yeah.
Stockpile one thing. By the way, my wide receiver, I'd have like 16 wide receivers on the roster at any given time.
But just to get back on track a little bit, I know it's a lot of fun, but before I forget, you can stack that Royal Rumble match with so many stars, and because nobody gets pinned or submits or anything like that, it doesn't do, you know, getting eliminated from the Rumble all depends on how you get eliminated, and doesn't do any damage to anybody's credibility.
By the way, I am not a fan of people having a match and then being in the Rumble. I feel like that's just a wasted Rumble spot. Give it to somebody who didn't have a match. Because they never win. You never win if you have a match and then you're in the Rumble. Come on. Has it happened? Someone's probably going to fact check me and be like, well, actually.
It's came close. If you go back to the early 90s, like, Piper had a great Rumble match against the Mountie in 92, but then Piper was a real threat to Flair in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. He obviously didn't win it. Flair did. You get some threats, but I think you're right. Nobody's ever had like, oh, that's a lie. No, it's a lie. 94. Brett and Owen are tag team. Owen finally kicks. I just kicked your leg out of your leg. And then Brett goes on to have a tie win with Lex. So I know.
Well, it was a tie. That doesn't count.
I kicked your leg out from under your leg.
Oh my goodness. 94 Rumble, Providence, Rhode Island, baby.
I knew it. It's funny. I was about to use Lex Luger as the example, but no, it was Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. We got a Cody Rhodes comeback video making me remember the days when they used to count down until Cody Rhodes is going to be on TV during Raw. But just talking about that match, saying he's coming back, Jimmy. Cody's going to be in the Rumble, right? Is this kind of a giveaway that he's going to be in the Rumble?
It feels that way, but you got to give them credit for to the production crew for putting on a great video package. And it makes me want to see him come back for that Royal Rumble. And when his music does hit, they should do that WrestleMania entrance where he comes up through the stage and stuff that, because that would be so incredible. And, you know, when he does eventually come back, it's money. It's just the way it's going. They've been handling this. You know, obviously you don't want to see anybody injured. It's a bad situation when you're injured, but at the same time, the comeback is going to be, I don't want to say worth it, but taking full advantage of it anyways.
Yeah, Cody, I can't believe I'm saying it. He might be working his way into my top 10 when you think about all the things he's done, whether it be helping to create AEW, and then that Hell in a Cell match will probably be one of the first matches I think of when I think of matches I was just like sucked into while watching it. But Justin, Cody Rhodes, I mean, he's going to be such a big star when he comes. I mean, he's a star, but you know what I mean? When he comes back, he's going to be a factor, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, I mean, this certainly has that the vibes that you know, Triple H did in what, 02 or 03 with the, you know, the YouTube Beautiful Day video montage, and he comes back at MSG and the Rumble. I mean, and at first I was a little bit unsure of why they would do this, like why draw attention to Cody and his rehab and kind of hamper the surprise of him showing up at Rumble, but the more I watch this, I like it. And also, and then I'm thinking, you know, to the WWE audience, which, you know, again, that is its own audience to an extent. They only saw Cody Rhodes back and positioned as a main event deal for 2 months. Mm-hmm. He came back, you know, as a surprise at Mania, and then was injured and out by early June. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's a good, there's a case to be made, which obviously it got, that case has been made and argued and won, and they're doing it to remind and educate the audience of why they should be sympathetic and why they should be on this guy's bandwagon and anticipating his return versus, you know, 3-2-1 earn him being number 30 and trying to start there, reminding people why he matters. So yeah, I'm all for the way this is going, and it's going to make for an exciting media season. Mm-hmm.
I still have Beautiful Day on my workout playlist because of that exact thing, that video that they played when he was coming back. We got another super chat from Jarvis Sam saying, pretty sure Brock lost to Lashley last year and then won the Rumble. You know what? I saw someone mention Becky also. I don't like it when you guys correct me and say how wrong I am.
Can I defend us too, real quick? Thank you, Jarvis. Thank you, Jarvis, for paying to fact check us. Mm-hmm. And thank you to anybody else. I want to put out there, I love all of you guys. You guys are a great community, and we have a great fan base. I want to just remind you guys, have the ability and the luxury of listening to us and then quickly Googling. We are all on here. We are all out here on an island of our own talking and thinking as fast as we can. Mm-hmm. I recalled 1994 Rumble stats. Good on me for that. I'm sorry I forgot last year's 2022 Rumble stat. But when you're put on the spot live, we don't always, not all things are firing at the quickest. So thank you. You guys are like our assistant producers and stat boys and girls. Thank you, but give us a little bit of a break.
Every time I try to drop a fact, I know that someone's going to correct me somewhere. But
that's why I try not to be too factual, because too many ref bumps over the years. What can I tell you?
No, I don't give any facts. I just recklessly speculate. That's what.
There you go.
Jimmy, it's so funny to me. I could go from January of '92 through probably first half, maybe all of '98. I could give you who had the world title in WWF. I could go blow by blow of who had it, who transitioned it. And on some cases, I could even tell you which city they were in. Mm. Then as I get to the last 20 years, I can't remember last year, Brock and Bobby, and then we're getting called out for it. So I don't know.
No, it's like I tell my wife sometimes, I get when I'm singing along to every 80s song, because I remember the words while I'm listening to it, right? Obviously. And I can't remember why I went from my office to the kitchen. What I went to go get, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wrestling's weird. I remember some of the weirdest stuff that has no bearing on anything, but for some reason it's in here forever.
Here's where it gets funny. And I want to, cause Jimmy's married. He's been married longer than I think either Jack or I have been in relationships. Yeah. Jimmy, with you and Audra, do you time stamp your relationship with WWE moments?
Oh, not so much me, but because of our marriage, you know, I got to have my, I guess my 15 minutes of fame in that angle, being the referee who crossed the picket line.
You know,
back in the day, because because as a joke, I came back from my honeymoon. I'd asked, you know, the office, could I get 2 weeks off and stuff like that. And while I was off on my honeymoon and getting married and enjoying that, obviously I'm not watching wrestling. I wanted to stay married. So, so I got back and everybody, hey, Jimmy, hey, how was the wedding? Blah, blah, blah. And then I run into Hunter and Hunter says, hey, Corduroy, welcome back. You know, how was the honeymoon? Too bad you don't have a job right now. Ha, ha, ha. And I went, Hunter, I can't go on strike. I just got married. I need the money. And he went, come with me. And it just popped something in him, an offhanded comment to make a joke. And then he took me over to JR and took me over to Crave and says, he breaks the picket line because he can't, he's the only regular referee. And then that's where the angle came from, just by an offhanded comment.
That's awesome. The other day, my wife and I got into like a friendly argument about a really good place that we were at in Baltimore. Like, I grew up in Maryland, but we go to DC far more than we go to Baltimore because DC is closer to where my parents are. We got this debate about when it was, and I go, it was December of 2011, and she didn't believe me. It was that year. I said, no, it was December 2011, because on that same weekend that we were in Baltimore, I took you to tables, ladders, and chairs in the Baltimore Arena. Kevin Nash took on Triple H, and this Zack Ryder won this title, whatever. And I explained all this thing, and 6 months earlier, Nash and I worked at Indie Event. I introduced you to Nash. I took you, like, I gave her this whole thing, and then she's just staring at me, like, just not even. She's no selling this whole thing, and just like, she's like, really? This is the, you know, I was right, but it wasn't worth the bounty of the argument of why I remembered when we went to Baltimore and why, when we ate at this seafood place versus the other seafood place.
That does happen. There's been times when I've been like, oh yeah, because that's when Shinsuke won the Royal Rumble. So that was, it was that time of year, because that's tremendous. When, anyways, we getting the train back on the tracks here. We got Bronson Reed backstage. We get a little video package of him, and then Miz wants to be his pal, but Miz says, or Bronson says, that you got to pay him to do work. Justin, are we getting a Bronson that is like a hired gun, or is this just kind of them writing him off of the Miz story?
I think this might be the same category as the Hurt Business stuff. It might be open ended. It might be, you know, Triple H wanting to get Bronson Reed back signed. Athletic big man, cool. We don't want it to be the same thing. We just had the whole thing with a Miz and Dexter Lumis and a pay thing. So, you know, again, is Bronson the hired gun? Do we have something else for him separate? I think it's probably, again, open-ended. I think we're probably just kind of leaving it open-ended for now to see, you know, where this is going to go.
Jimmy, did the video package help sell you on Bronson Reed if you'd never seen him before?
I think it made people feel like, if you'd never seen him before, that he's almost like a call-up from NXT, because most of the footage was NXT footage. So, right. So people who aren't familiar with him might say, oh, they're finally calling this guy up. Well, I don't, you know, whatever. It just, you know, that's the only thing. Other than that, like you guys said, he's an athletic big man who fits into that wheelhouse that they like, and, you know, keep everybody guessing. Let's see where it goes. I like the little line where, you know, Miz comes out and says, yeah, we're working together. He's kind of working for me and stuff like that. No, I will if you pay me.
And that could play nicely into a Rumble situation. Mm-hmm. Miz is in peril in the Rumble. Bronson Reed comes out. You know, Miz thinks Bronson's going to be his. Miz has got to dig into his trunks and find some money right there to save himself from getting eliminated. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
That would actually be a fun bit if he has to pay him every time he gets saved and then he runs out of money and then Bronson throws him out.
Right.
There you go. That could be fun. I'm a big Bronson fan, so I hope he does. Hope they got good things.
As long as I'm not ringside in case Bronson drops some money, because I got accused on that Drew Carey thing of pocketing a few dollars. But anyways.
Oh, no, you got to tell the story. Tell the story.
Yeah.
No, it was Drew Carey was a surprise entrant into the Royal Rumble, and he found himself alone in the ring with Kane, of all people. So Drew, you know, reaches in his pocket, pulls out this big wad of cash. And, you know, Kane You know, he doesn't want money. He slaps it out of his hand, and this money goes flying all over the ring. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I can't just leave it there. So I just start scooping it up. And you can see me in the back. We're scooping up all this cash. And was it
real money, or was real dollars?
It was money, 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 money. You know, I'm telling you.
It was so real enough for me to spend.
Well, I scooped it all up. I put it in my pockets, and I went to the back, and I didn't count it or anything. I said, how much money is supposed to be here? Whatever it is, it's all here, what I could scoop up. And that was it. Didn't hear anything more about it, but of course everybody ripped me for weeks at
that. Sure.
You know, I pocketed Drew's money.
Pockets is your new nickname on the show.
Uh-oh. No, I like corduroy. Stick to corduroy. Corduroy.
I'm surprised there's no close-ups. I'm surprised they didn't go with fake money. I'm surprised that's like what in that situation, who's the prop master? This, like, does Vince just pull out a wad of money and say, here, take, like, who's making the call?
I don't know. It's like I was expecting to see the bills with JBL's picture on it.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. You know, like you said, who's going to see it? But then again, I guess they figure if someone, you know, happens to see it, you know, but I scooped it up. And as I was scooping, I went, oh, my goodness. Yeah. I don't want to get accused of any wrongdoing here. That's for sure.
You'd be in wrestler's court the next day.
Absolutely.
Some of it went in the right pocket. Some of it went in the left pocket, I'm sure.
But both were empty. Trust me.
Taker would have had you on trial for pocketing money.
Yeah, and not buying a round afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if you did, you could buy him off, though. You could say, hey, Taker, here's some cash. We get an interview segment. Ziggler is talking about how he's going to take on Solo Sikoa. And Ziggler then is interrupted by Ali, who's like, hey, man, we were going to be a part of this tag team turmoil, but you don't want to be a part of it. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of the story. So they move on and they have a match. And Solo kind of dominates this one, too. There's a few moments of Ziggler getting an opportunity. But at the end of the day, it's the street champ on the island of relevancy getting the win. And the Usos show up again to celebrate, even though they were kicked out earlier on. Justin, another kind of a squash match, but also kind of the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is similar. I mean, obviously, Dolph has way more TV credibility than Candice LeRae, to my example earlier of Rhea versus Candice. But yeah, I mean, this is huge. I mean, Solo has not been beaten. He has been truly a project they have protected. And I tweeted this, and I say it now. It is 2023. Dolph Ziggler still looks the same. He still looks like he's in the prime of his career. And he's still out there selling like he's Amazon. I mean, so if you're looking to get somebody, you know, a credible win, Solo's the guy to get it, and Dolph's the guy to give it to him. And so I saw no problem here. I take my hat off to Dolph. I think he is. And it's funny, you know, earlier in the night, too, we saw when trying to get the Usos out of there backstage, one of the backstage agents we saw in the background is Kenny Dykstra, who was you know, most notably known as part of the Spirit Squad, which is that's where Dolph Ziggler got his start as Nikki is part of the Spirit Squad. And it just made me think, like, wow, here we are all these years later, and Dolph is still going strong. It does not look like a guy who's out there for a pity paycheck. He is he's in phenomenal shape. And you know, but yeah, this was a squash match, right thing to do. And Solo Sikoa, he's one to watch for 2023. Where does he fit in on this whole bloodline deal?
Right.
What? Because it looks like he's the breakout star that they're grooming.
Yeah, he's outperformed my personal expectations for him on the main roster. Not that I thought he was going to be the guy that eats pins when he first got called up, to be totally honest.
No.
They're
doing it right with him.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. I was predicting again. Bad general manager Jack. I was like, oh, they're gonna call him up so someone can eat pins and the other guys can stay dominant.
But like Justin said, it takes two to tango, and Dolph Ziggler is that perfect partner. When you talk about someone helping someone else get over, that's exactly what Dolph did. This he made Solo look like $1 million.
Dolph Ziggler is
he's just so good.
He's definitely a underrated value in WWE as far as like what he can bring and how he can make people look great. And
And the other thing he did too was in that interaction with Mustafa Ali in the back, he made it feel like it's so important to get this win over Solo Sikoa that he's giving up this opportunity in the tag team turmoil match. And they made that, he made that feel special.
We got a super chat from the GIF King, Dylan Matthews, saying Vince McMoney, with going, I think going back to that, Jimmy pocketing some cash.
I still deny it to this day.
Hey, deny till you die, Jimmy. That's the way to do it. We get what I think was actually my favorite part of the show. I can't believe
because snitches get stitches.
Yes, snitches,
you deny it.
That's right. Speaking of people who have done hard time, Jimmy, we got Dom coming out on Miz TV, and Justin, this was just a great thing. I'll let you take it away. Tell me about Dom and Judgment Day on Miz TV.
I mean, the leaning in of Dom, you know, had a night in county jail, but he's talking that he had hard prison time. I mean, I had a fun night on social media. I mean, I was using Jamie Kennedy's Malibu's Most Wanted of Don't Be Hating. You know, I'm using Jamie Foxx's Mother Effin' Jones right. Did a dime for some nasty stuff, and it was video piracy. I mean, there's just so many things here. This is, you know, Judgment Day again. Start of the year, people, we kind of were wondering, and this was supposed to be Edge's heel run. Edge gets dismissed from the group and cut out. Not sure. This group even had a few weeks where they were on main event, not the main event stature, but main event the show. They've completely reinvented, and they have become, all four of them are just top of their game. And the entire play of Dom and Rhea with the weird romance, and Dom being a hardened criminal and talking as such, and now I know what Martha Stewart feels like. I mean, this is sports entertainment. This is what it is. Dom inevitably is going to have a match at Mania against his father. That's where they're headed here. That's what they've been timing for. And we all collectively are going to care about it so much more than we ever thought we were because of the work that Dom and his Judgment Day cohorts have done. They have turned Dom into I just need to see this little twerp get his ass kicked. But he's playing it off so well. But then just as he's coming off that way, you know, Jimmy, you have Priest and Finn who are going the distance, working their ass off, and then forcing Dom into it. Rhea's working her ass off with the women. Like, everything is just clicking. Judgment Day is really been to me probably the golden goose of 2022, and they're carrying it in here to 2023 phenomenally.
Yeah, the only problem here is the bloodline is getting all the headlines, so to speak, and I think people are overlooking that fact. And you're right, Dom is like, it seems like every week he evolves his character to this and takes it to another, elevates that level. And you go, man, this kid just gets it. And it's the little things that always matter. Like, you know, when Rhea referred to him as my Latino heat and little things like that. It's just everything is clicking with this group. So looking forward, again, drawing you in, wanting you to tune in to see what happens, what's next for them, who's next on their plate. You know, earlier somebody talked about Edge versus Finn. You know, that's probably somewhere down the road as well, and see how that fits into plans. And when you say sports entertainment, I know people say it's a dirty word when you're talking pro wrestling, sports entertainment, but that's what it is. And you want to be entertained. And this is, they're more than entertaining right now.
And the little things of Jack, the little things of Dom getting thrown in the match once Finn is injured. And then Rhea takes the bandana and wears it around her neck, takes Dom's flannel, like just these little things. And then, you know, we see Judgment Day. They win this tag team turmoil by hook or by crook. So now it's them versus the Usos, who the Usos have their own record as tag team champions. What a shout out to creative that this is. In the past, creative would have never approved, okay, we're going to have the dominant heel group on Monday go against the dominant heel group on Friday, who has this record-setting tag team you know, run going.
Mm-hmm.
But credit to creative of this is the most interesting situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have these two who aren't, you know, likable to the audience in any which way, mm-hmm. but they're all interesting.
Right.
You know, you don't always have to have good guy versus bad guy or good guy versus good guy. I think if done right, if all the backstory is there, and certainly it's there with the Judgment Day and it's there with the Bloodline, mm-hmm. having the two most just biggest heels collide and see who can out. I mean, that's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And I think what makes it kind of makes it easier for them to do this matchup with the Judgment Day versus the Bloodline here is they're all people we are not supposed to like, but they're all so entertaining that I think it doesn't have that same feel of just like an Omos who's just a big, mean, bad guy versus a Walter who's a big, mean, bad guy, you know, or a Gunther. Right. I should say. They're still so fun. I'm entertained either way.
Right.
Right. Like imagine on Friday, if I assume Judgment Day versus Blood or versus Usos would be the main event, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, or it'd be the turn of the hour. It'll be some, you know, pinpoint part of the show.
Right.
You know, imagine leading up to that, you have Dom, who's, you know, this hardened criminal out of county jail. Imagine him running in backstage to Sami Zayn, the honorary Us, and them trying to butt heads of who's got more street cred to their group.
My goodness. That could be TV gold.
TV. Like, all I did was give you one sentence.
Right.
Right.
And that there could just carry you. It could just, that's what it's all about.
It even made me think of what if there's a possible interaction between Dom and Solo Sikoa, and Dom saying, yeah, you think you're tough, but did you spend time in prison like I did? I had hard time. So don't mess with me or whatever, you know. So there are possibilities there.
You got that Samoan spike. I shanked a guy. Like, I mean, that is just stupid stuff.
Dom, I can't believe how entertaining he was. When he said the Martha Stewart line, I lost it. That is just the best thing ever. But there's still bad guy. I mean, Miz got chased off even. And I'm so glad they have the Judgment Day winning this match, because I love the Street Profits, but I was like, oh, we're going to get Street Profits versus Usos again. And this was a great way to the show overall was very, I think, kind of forgettable as we were talking about. But I think from Miz TV on, this was actually a really entertaining way to end the show. So, I don't know if that'll impact ratings. I feel like people have already made their mind up by the time this TV started, but I'm very excited to see. Yeah, I want to see Dom interact with Sammy now. That's going to be so funny. And see them using different, like slang to each other inappropriately. Like,
all tremendous.
And not sounding very realistic about it.
Yeah.
It was like, Hey, my dog. I'm not your dog, homie. I'm not your homie or whatever. They just keep going back and forth. That'd be
SA, don't call me dog.
I'm not your SA. Really fun way to end this. At least I thought it was a really fun way to end the show. But the rest of it, kind of straightforward. Before wrapping it all up, any final words, Jimmy?
No, I thought it was I guess they were expecting, since tonight was the national championship game, I guess they were expecting to I don't want to say coast a little bit, because there was some stuff there that definitely wasn't coasting, but I think they held back a little bit. They could have gone a little more all out, but at the same time they did further some stories, they did plant some seeds, and they got me interested in a couple of storylines here. So that's the main thing.
And Justin, I do want to add before we go, I want to say, I know he's great, but I felt like today, Damian Priest really like showed that he can go. Like, I mean, I know he can wrestle. I know he's great, but I mean, like, I was like, dang, in that match, he was like, I don't know. He really showed out to me. I thought that was a good showing for him all overall.
No. Yeah. He stayed in the whole time. I actually sent him a note just before we started this podcast. I said, nice cardio. you know, I just the Judgment Day. I can't. That's my story right now. Is that these guys and girls? I mean, they have it all here for Road to Mania. Rhea certainly for the women's. You know, I think it's going to be involved in a women's title match. I think Dom with his father. That's going to be spectacular. What does Priest and Finn do? You know, are they in the tag team hunt? Do they one or both of them split off into an IC or US title hunt? Or into a novelty match against, you know, an Austin or it's all wide open, but it's all believable, you know, or an Edge, you know, I mean, like, so, I mean, you know, I give them credit. The tag team turmoil, that doesn't always get me excited. I like the fact, again, they put a little spin on it of, oh, here's the swerve. Finn can't go anymore. Now Dom, hardened criminal Dom, has to get in the ring. You know, they at least try to make it as exciting as possible.
And the fact that Finn was outside selling for the entire rest of the
in the
match,
chair, right? Yeah, know, yeah, yeah.
Too much.
You know, so there's things to appreciate. You know, I'm looking again. I'm looking forward to 30th anniversary coming up, Rumble coming up. There's a lot to be excited for. On the state of where WWE is at creatively. And, oh, by the way, let's not get our hopes up, but a lot was made last Friday of Vince's back in the boardroom and what doom and gloom could that cause? Tonight did not feel like they took any backward steps in creative. No. Tonight felt like all the progressive creative things they're trying to do continue to take those steps. So,
and I love the fact that they're keeping that off television as well. That does not need to be addressed at this time. And I know some people are saying, well, they could turn it into a storyline or whatever. No.
I mean, I do hope Vince wins the Rumble and takes the titles off Roman. But
after 2005 Rumble, I don't want to see Vince in the Rumble again.
Hey, by the way, can I give a real quick? I want to give a shout out to one of our regulars, who's a podcast moderator and who's a big supporter of our podcast. I think I just saw him in the chat, Bernie in DC. I know Bernie posted earlier on a separate social. He was having a rough day, rough week. I didn't really ask him a lot of questions, but I know. But I just want to say shout out to Bernie. Bernie, thank you. I know you've been a huge supporter of us. So I know if you're having a rough week, man, just, you know, you got all the support here and keep grinding, keep doing what you got to do. But to Bernie, to everybody who's a regular on this podcast community, thank you very much. And, you know, hopefully as much as I look forward and these guys look forward to doing this on Monday nights, that same is for you guys. So,
yeah, without you guys, it would just be us talking to each other. It wouldn't be a show. You guys are what make it really count. So thank you to all of you. It's Bernie DC 100%. I always enjoy getting to see you in there, and everyone else who's in the live chat as well. Obviously, Dream Realm Studios, Baby Ice, and Jif King, Dylan Matthews, Trevor Snook, and many more. Appreciate it, Scott and Kareem and Andrew, and we'll stop it there. But Bernie DC, thank you so much for always being part of the show. That does it for us. Justin, where can they find you online if they want to hit you up after the show?
At Justin LaBar across all the socials. I'll be back Wednesday night with Jimmy and Issa for Dynamite. Back Friday morning live on Sirius XM for Busted Open, Spar with LaBar, myself, David LaGreca, and Thunder Rosa. And I'm counting down. I'm counting down to our big Raw. I'm counting down to our Rumble. We got a lot to look for. I mean, I don't know. We haven't even done the schedule, so this is like just talking to people without even talking internally. I don't know if the three of us are going to do Mania Night 1 or Night 2, but I have a feeling that it's going to be a fun Mania season that we're all going to do here. So it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Mania is in my backyard, so I think I might be busy that night.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. But Jimmy, where can the world find you?
Again, all social media platforms on Twitter at Jimmy Corderas, at Real Jimmy Corderas on Instagram, and of course, Facebook and stuff. And, you know, you can catch me doing my ref and rants from Monday to Fridays and just having a little fun with that. Having a blast here on Mondays and Wednesday nights talking with you guys, Triple J, and doing the Dynamite review on Wednesdays, and also doing a little thing with another former brother in Stripe who, I actually think he's still wearing stripes, but we're doing little chats as well.
Oh, very cool. Well,
don't be so vague. Plug it, yeah. Jimmy. Plug it.
Okay.
Don't be so vague.
Yeah, it's called Wrapping It Up with myself and Brian Hebner and RJ. And we just, you know, have a blast reminiscing, trying to jog some of those old memories up.
Very cool.
Brian Hebner, a fellow Washington Redskins fan.
True. Yeah.
There's a lot of them around here lately, it seems like, on this show. LeBar, you're bringing in all the Washington Redskins, but we need the Seahawks fans to come in. That's the call of the Seahawks.
Go find Brian Danielson somewhere.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans over here. What can I tell you?
Well, that does it for us. Thank you to everyone. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. We'll see you guys. Well, I guess Wrestling Inc. We'll see you guys tomorrow for the After NXT show. And until then, I don't know. Do good stuff.
Yeah.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.